Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast. I am really, really excited today to be joined by a Fuel Train Recover program graduate and client, Jeff Marshall, who is here to share his really exciting and inspiring story of learning how to fuel for his running. And as you can see, if you're watching the little video here, he's got his Manitoba Marathon finisher t-shirt, which is perfect for today's occasion. And we can't wait to hear more about your story. So Jeff, if you want to kick things off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into running, what's your history with the sport?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Steph. You know, I'm super excited to be here. I've been a big fan since you started the podcast. So I'm really excited to be here. So yeah, awesome. As you mentioned, I'm Jeff Marshall. I'm 39 years old. I was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, so I've been here all my life. Me and my wife, Alexis, we've been together for 18 years now, and we've been married for 11. And together, we have three kids. Our son is 7, and our daughters are 5 and 2. So I'm a mechanical engineer. I work at our province's utility company, Manitoba Hydro, and I'm a project manager there. So I first got into running, I'd say probably late in high school, as a tool to help me lose weight.
All right. And so tell us a little bit more about how running has kind of, you know, changed or evolved for you since then, since you initially got into it so many years ago.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a crazy journey. So I don't know, back up before high school, I was always kind of a little bit of a chubbier kid. So I grew up really loving sports. So like any Canadian kid, I played street hockey with my friends on the front street. And my parents put me in soccer when I was a kid. But I didn't really like soccer because we were running around this big field. And I didn't really like running around a big field. So I transitioned onto baseball. So I played baseball probably when I was, 10 years old. And all throughout my teens, I was kind of on like the mid-tier baseball teams, but I would always get called up to like the top-tier teams when it came to playoff time. But I never really had aspirations to join those top teams until maybe I was, you know, mid high school age. So I tried out for the top tier team, and I didn't make it. So in my grade 12 year, I decided to, you know, get a gym membership and start getting into shape, and start running so that I can make the top tier baseball team. And yeah, I pretty much lived in the gym in my grade 12 year. I did lots of running, lots of weights, and I slimmed down quite a bit. And I tried out again for this top tier baseball team, and I made it. So I was pretty pumped to see that my efforts did something good. And yeah, I played baseball. I was one of the starting outfielders, so I thought that was pretty cool. But then yeah, I continued running kind of recreationally after that. And I went off to university. My engineering school was pretty heavy the first couple of years, so I didn't focus too much on running, mostly my studies. And it was those first couple of years in university, I gained some weight back, and I kind of rediscovered running in about third year university, again, kind of as a tool to help me lose weight. And I also met my wife at that time, during that time, so I was trying to, you know, impress her as well. So yeah, I got back into running, and yeah, I kind of didn't really have a set program in the last couple of years of university, but just tried to stay in touch with the running and the weights. And then so yeah, I graduated university in 2007, and my brother-in-law Alex, he asked if I wanted to run a half marathon. So we signed up for the Manitoba Half Marathon in June of 2007. And I had no idea how to train for a half marathon.
None of us ever do in the beginning.
Yeah. So I think I just downloaded a generic training plan online, and I ran all the miles on the page. So I didn't know anything about fueling. I didn't know anything about pacing or different runs. I just ran all the miles. And I really struggled with anything over 8 miles. I've kind of hit the wall pretty good. And I remember that happened on race day too. I hit the wall at 8 miles and had to like walk and run to finish the half marathon. But yeah, I finished in a time of 2:09, 2 hours 9 minutes, my first half, so a decent time. And yeah, after that experience, I was kind of inspired. I was inspired to get better, you know, improve my training. So I just started building on that, started building up my running. So I think in the subsequent years, I did 1:56, I did 2:05, I did 2 hours. So kind of around the 2 hour mark was kind of where I was sitting. Then I kind of hit a turning point in my fitness career. I tore my ACL in my right knee. So that was, you know, a devastating injury for me, because I was going from working out every day to nothing. I wasn't able to move my leg without pain. But I was lucky to get surgery pretty quick after the injury. So I had surgery about a month after. And I was confined to the couch for like a month. I couldn't walk, I couldn't move, basically on the couch for a month. So that was really hard for me to handle, because I was a pretty active person at that point. But what I decided to do was take that opportunity to look at myself. So I looked at my workout routine, which was kind of plateauing at that point. You know, wasn't making any real gains. So I looked for this new workout routine, and I found a plyometric workout online called the Insanity Workouts. It's like a video series. So I decided to download that and start, you know, building my way up to those video series. And I also looked at my nutrition plan. So I went out and bought a book. It was called Eating Lean. Mario Lopez wrote it. He was a big TV star at the time. And so what I did was I looked at all the recipes that he had in this book, and a typical engineer, I, you know, programmed it into Excel, and I customized it. I put all the macros in, all the calories in, and I basically built like a meal plan program, so that I could build like a meal plan weekly, and it would generate a shopping list for us. So those are kind of the two strategies I started at that time.
So you're out here, we're all like just getting that technology now, but you were like inventing this stuff, you know, living in the year 3000, making
Yeah,
your own spreadsheets with the grocery list. I mean, that's like new stuff that we now have in the nutrition world. That's really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, I'm a pretty organized, like, numbers based person, so it really helped me, you know, visualize what I had to do for the week. So what I was finding is, you know, the knee injury, it was taking me a while to build up my fitness level. So I did a lot of physio, I did a lot of rehab, and the physio was kind of recommending this plyometric workout to help me kind of get through the range of motion increases that I had to do. And so that, combined with the nutrition plan, I saw the weight just coming off. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like dripping sweat doing these workouts. It was kind of great. So I was, you know, seeing definition in my arms, my chest. For the first time in my life, I had abs. So I was seeing, like, the combination of the workout and the kitchen being really, really good combination.
Yeah.
In terms of running, I didn't do so much running in this period. When I was first cleared to run, I remember this, like, vividly, that the physio cleared me to run and I could do 1 minute on the treadmill. So I did 1 minute and then rested a day. And then I did 2 minutes, rested a day. And I kept building up until I could, you know, run with no pain for, you know, I think it was an hour that I got to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this knee injury was kind of a good thing for changing my, you know, body composition. I really thought it was a positive change. So I kept evolving this program. I kind of aspired to be a bodybuilder at that point in my life.
Yeah.
So I bought, you know, a subscription to Muscle and Fitness magazine. You know, I looked at all the workout plans that these bodybuilders were doing, and I was trying to mimic them. And I was trying to, like, add to my eating lean catalog of food. So I kind of built up my spreadsheet. But the issue I kind of ran into throughout my life is that I'm a chronic, like, under-eater. I haven't learned how to, you know, fuel myself. So I was finding, you know, I had this aspiration to build muscle, but I wasn't fueling my body properly to actually build that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately I didn't make any gains in that kind of phase of my life. I just kind of stayed a bit stagnant from about 2012 to 2016 roughly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had our son. So in 2016 we had our son, and, you know, life as a first time parent, pretty crazy. You don't really know what your schedule is going to be. So I struggled a little bit with, you know, designing a workout plan and keeping up with my meal planning. So I kind of kept up with it, but I started adding in biking to and from work as my cardio. And I found that in the summers was keeping me in pretty good shape, but mm-hmm. the winter I would struggle quite a bit. And this, yeah, I'd say continued for about a year and a half. And then in 2018, my daughter was born. And again, a second time parent, less time to do everything, less time to go to the grocery store to do workouts. So I really struggled with, you know, where to go from here. So yeah, I remember vividly, you know, me and my wife were out on the deck one day, and she made this comment. She's like, "What happened to your abs? Like, where'd they go? How come you work out all the time?"
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Yeah. So it was such a small comment, but, you know, when my wife says something, it's very powerful, and I really take it to heart. And I said, "Yeah, like, I'm pretty stagnant. Like, I don't really know what to do." So from that point on, I was kind of on a journey. Like, I was on another journey to find the right workout program, to find the right nutrition plan that worked for me at that time. So I tried, like, carb loading. I tried high protein. I tried carb cycling, calorie cycling. Tried a whole pile of different diets, but nothing was really working. So I ended up landing on the keto diet. So for, I don't know, listeners that aren't familiar, keto diet is a very high-fat, low-carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I transitioned to the keto diet in fall of 2018. And again, I saw the weight just drop off, like, instantly. Saw big changes. So I was eating maybe 1,200 to 1,400 calories per day, 10 to 20 carbs per day. So it was pretty extreme. going from like a high protein, high carb diet down to the low side. But I was seeing the results. I was really seeing the results. And I was seeing it on the scale too. Another turning point kind of happened in, I'd say, fall of 2019, that I got really sick. I was diagnosed with pneumonia. So I ended up in the hospital for a week and a half. Had a chest tube installed to drain the fluid from my lungs. And I dropped in weight to my lowest that I've ever been. So I was 128 pounds, size 27 waist. Just for reference, I'm 5'7", so that's pretty low on the scale for me. And I was kind of struggling. I wasn't quite sure if keto was the right thing for me. So I wasn't sure if this was related to my sickness. So I had to take like a real close look at what I was doing. And mentally, I really wanted my body composition to look a certain way. So I kept on with the keto diet because I liked the way I was looking in the mirror. So when I came home from the hospital, my fitness level had decreased quite a bit because of the pneumonia. So I was just getting winded, going up and down the stairs. So I had a pretty long recovery from that. I think maybe 3, 4 months to overcome the pneumonia. But I eventually got back to running. And that's when the pandemic hit. So I was slowly working my way at the gym, back into weight training and running, and then all of a sudden the world shut down. So I had a very pretty poor home gym set up at that point. So I turned to running. I turned to running at that point as my daily dose of exercise. But I also had to make a couple other changes during this time, because both me and my wife were working from home full time. We had the kids. We had 2 kids under 5 at that point at home. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to A, work out, or B, plan my meals. So I had to start getting up before the kids got up. And our kids are notorious for getting up early. So I had to start getting up at 4 a.m. to get my workout in, to get my run in before they would wake up. I was training fasted. I was still on keto, 1,200 to 1,400 calories a day, 10 to 12 grams of carbs per day. I was finding I was exhausted. I was exhausted at the end of the day. My body was, I was cold all the time. I needed like 3, 4 cups of coffee a day. My body was incredibly sore all the time. And yeah, the other thing I was mentioning is, the meal prep. So I didn't have time to meal prep. So I started making these big salads. So I would just chop up a bunch of romaine, chop up veggies, protein, throw it in a big bowl, add my fat source on it. And that would be lunch and dinner every day for years. Yeah, it was a tough time in our life because, the pandemic kind of sheltered mentally wise. Like I'm feeling like horrible, but I liked the way I was looking. So body composition wise, I look good in the mirror, so I wanted to keep it up, even though my body was telling me it wasn't the right thing to do. So I kept doing that for years, and then the pandemic's restrictions started loosening up. So we were then able to like go out more, socialize more, eat out a lot more. And I was really struggling with this because my wife's family's very social, so we like to gather lots and eat together. But I was scared, I was scared to go to a place that I didn't know the calorie total of the meal. I didn't know the macro total. So, I started packing my own meals to go to these places. And I would go like hide in a corner and eat my salads before everyone else ate, and then just pretend I wasn't hungry at dinner. So, mentally wise, it was like affecting me, and I was kind of embarrassed to tell everyone like what I was doing. But eventually, my family caught on, they kind of knew what I was doing, and they started catering more to me. So they started having a salad on the table. They had like a protein. They had the fat sources there for me, so I didn't have to feel embarrassed. So, on one hand, I was grateful for my family for doing that, but on the other hand, I was kind of embarrassed that, I'd become that picky eater.
And maybe they're enabling some behaviors that ultimately weren't that healthy. Like,
yes,
you know, some of the restrictions that you had set on yourself, they were sort of supporting that, being supportive, which is great. But ultimately, you know, as I know that you'll get to, maybe not serving you in the most positive way.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So like this kind of behavior continued for a while. And then, you know, one day my son, he asked, you know, why are you eating salads all the time? Why don't you try something different? And this kind of shocked me, and I wasn't quite sure how to address his comment. You know, like, I don't like the same things as you. I don't like rice. I don't like pasta. So I wasn't quite sure how to address that comment, but I kind of put it off for a while. But then another turning point kind of happened, and this was another inspiration in my life, my brother-in-law, Alex. So Alex, I'd mentioned, he challenged me to run my first half marathon. Well, in fall of 2021, he decided to run a full marathon around the neighborhood. So he planned this route around the neighborhood, and he ran 26 miles, and he was successful. And so he said, "Okay, look, Jeff, if I can do it, then you can do it." And he put that challenge in front of me. And that's one thing that, you know, I have a hard time saying no when you challenge me. So I really, you know, look up to him, even though he's younger than me. I look up to him like as a role model. And I said, "Okay, let's do this." So again, you know, I downloaded a generic training plan. Didn't know anything about training for a full marathon either. And so in spring of 2022, I started training for my first full marathon. And, you know, for a while I didn't sign up because I wasn't sure that I could do it. You know, I was kind of scared with my history of, you know, my knee injury. Really didn't think, you know, I my body could handle it. So I held off on signing up, and I kept telling people, you know, I think I'm training for a full marathon. And so my wife, you know, Alexis, she said, "Stop telling people you're doing it and just sign up already and just do it."
Yeah.
So yeah, I love her. Like, she just pushes me out of my comfort zone. And I did. I signed up. So I was committed. I had to do it.
Yeah.
So I, you know, followed all the numbers on the page. I ran all the miles that the training plan said, but I ran them fast. I ran them at my pace I wanted to run during the race. And like I said, yeah, I was still training fasted. I was still on keto, low calorie total, low carb total. I was incredibly sore all the time. So it wasn't the greatest training block, I'd have to say. I struggled through a lot of the long runs. So I did, you know, the 20 and 21 mile long runs. Really struggled with those, but I got through and made it to race day. I had been experimenting with gels on my long runs. So I brought a few gels to race day, but because I was on keto, the carb count in one gel was more carbs in one gel than I had an entire day usually.
Yeah.
So I was really hesitant to use gels. And I remember, you know, some of the training runs, I would hold off as much as possible having my gel because I was scared, you know, I'm going to be cheating today if I have this gel.
Right, right.
So yeah, I showed up to race day, and you know, that's kind of the journey to my first marathon.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much, you know, sharing, you know, your journey and kind of the ups and downs and the different things that you tried and experimented with. You're coming into, you know, getting some help with your nutrition and talking to a professional about your nutrition with tons of experience and, you know, a lot of knowledge. And I find that this is really, really common, you know, with people like yourself, especially very data-minded people, where like you've done all the things. You know how to carb count, you know how to calorie count, like you know how much protein is in this, that, and the other thing. And so you get to the point where you've done so many different things and you've got all these different goals that you want to achieve. It's so hard to put all of those pieces together to figure out, like, what does the plan look like to help me tick off all of these boxes? So, you know, you had lots of ups and downs, you had lots of challenges and some successes along the way. You know, you saw the changes that you wanted to see at different points in time. But at what point did you decide that you wanted to work with somebody on your nutrition? What was the turning point where you said, you know what, I just got to reach out to somebody and figure this out because this is no longer working for me?
Yeah, for sure. I think my experience at my first marathon really pushed me to ask for help. So I'll take you through the marathon and kind of show why I needed help. So yeah, the first marathon morning was an incredibly hot morning. So for Winnipeg, we're kind of known for our extreme heat and our extreme cold, so the two extremes. So the morning of race day, I think it was 27 and 100% humidity, 27 Celsius, 100% humidity, very, very hot. You know, the race officials were considering canceling the race, but ultimately they let it start. And so we started at 7 a.m. You know, I was sweating at the start line, had four gels and two 10-ounce water bottles of Gatorade Zero with me. That's all I had,
Gatorade
Gatorade Zero.
Zero.
So yeah, the first, you know, 6, 7 miles went pretty well. I ran the pace I wanted. And about mile seven, you know, the police were telling runners, race is canceled. It's over. So I was really unsure what to do with this info. So I run with headphones. I kind of took one headphone off, and was kind of listening to the chatter along the course. And, you know, runners weren't really paying much attention to this news. We just kept going. It wasn't until, you know, mile 10 when now the volunteers were starting to say that the race was canceled. So it was kind of a fork in the road at mile 10. So there was the volunteers were saying, "Okay, this is the last aid station. There's no more aid stations past this point. You're on your own after this." So I was really unsure what to do with that info. Like I was almost out of Gatorade Zero. I'd used one gel. I was thrown off my mental game because I wasn't quite sure, you know, what the situation of the race was.
Yeah.
There were supposed to be buses to pick us up, but there was no buses in sight. You know, nobody was stopping. You know, some runners were crying because they were upset that the race was canceled. So I stopped for 10 minutes and I called my wife and said, "Come pick me up. I'm probably not going to make it all the way." But I had a goal, like I wanted to finish the race. So I ended the call and said, "Okay, I'm going to keep going as far as I can." And I got to maybe mile 14 and I got some really bad cramping that happened in my right leg. So my quad and calf started cramping. I didn't know anything about cramps or how to overcome them at this point. So I kind of let it come on and I dropped to the ground and tried to stretch it out. And that was kind of the start of the end for my day, is that I got up and tried running and the cramp kept coming back. So I kind of hobbled my way to where I had told my wife to meet me. And it was kind of an inspiration point because I saw Alexis, I saw my kids, and they had signs and they had, you know, Gatorade and a banana for me. And they kept saying, "Dad, you can do it, you can do it." And so I really wanted to do it, and I really wanted to show my kids, you know, I don't give up, I don't quit. But I was in so much pain, like my legs were in rough shape at this point. I had just gotten over like a major cramp in my right side, and when I was on the ground stretching it out, my left side cramped up. And then while I was stretching that side, my abs cramped up. So here I am in like the blistering heat, cramping up. I had other runners actually stop and like help me stretch it out. So that was like super awesome of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately I couldn't finish the race. Like the race medic came by and saw me, kind of rolling around in pain and said, "Yeah, I need you to kind of get up and get off the course," type thing.
Dude, you're done.
Yeah. And you know, that was really hard for me. Because I don't like quitting, I don't like giving up. And I just passed my kids and my wife, so they were thinking I could do it. And here I am, I can't do it. It's like kind of felt like a failure at that point. You know, I wasn't able to finish the race. So all these thoughts are going through my head, like, what did I do wrong? Like, I'm not prepared for this heat. I'm not prepared to, like, with the fuel or with the hydration. So I just felt really bad overall for after that race. And it took me, you know, probably half an hour to actually get up off the course and into my vehicle. Like it was that bad. My legs were felt like lead. And you know, I was super proud though of my brother-in-law Alex. He finished the race that day. So I was super proud, you know, that he had finished. But it was kind of bittersweet because I had to see him later on at Father's Day dinner. But after that race, I really decided if I wanted to run a marathon, I needed help doing it. So I went for a couple training runs after this particular race and was trying to process what had happened. And right after that, my knee started hurting. And I ended up having to take 8 weeks off of running. And this, I kind of spiraled into like almost a mini depressed state at this point, because I just run, you know, 16 miles. I was in the prime like training condition. And now here I can do no activity because my knee was just really killing me. So I started to, you know, eat less and tried to move more. I tried to find other things that I could do, like riding a bike or elliptical. But I really wanted to get back to running. And just like when I had my knee surgery, I used the opportunity to better myself. So I started looking online for, you know, dietitians. Like I really wanted help. And this is when my son's comment really kicked in. Like, Dad, why don't you try something new? Why don't you try different foods? That's something that really hit home for me. And in this period of time, I kind of went back to my big salad phase, that I was only eating these big salads. And I really wanted to be a better, you know, role model for my kids and show them that, yeah, I can eat something different, because, you know, we're trying to teach the kids, you know, you got to eat something different, you know, and eat your broccoli and eat your vegetables, but I'm not doing it myself.
Right, right.
So that's really what inspired me to kind of start looking for dietitians. And while I was doing that, Something good did happen. You know, the race directors from the Manitoba Marathon, they contacted the racers, and they said, you have a chance to run your race virtually before, you know, the end of summer. So I decided to kind of overcome my injury and start a mini training plan. So I put together a mini training plan about 8 weeks long. And I decided to pick a Saturday in July to run a full marathon virtually. And during this time, I started experimenting, adding carbs back into my diet. So, you know, I took my big salad and I added a scoop of rice to it. And I thought this was carb loading.
Yeah.
So I was trying all these different things. I wasn't feeling great physically. I was feeling bloated and like uncomfortable because I'm adding in these foods I wasn't comfortable with, but I really wanted to achieve a goal. So my mini training plan was going pretty well. So I just decided to cut it a little bit short. I did 6 weeks and I planned a full marathon route. So I did a 19 mile out and back to my house and then a 7 mile loop to make up the 26 miles. And the 19 miles went well. I had a thunderstorm pass by, which, you know, drenched me to the bone. I was considering stopping because I saw some thunder and lightning in the distance, but it missed me. But, you know, the rain was a blessing because it cooled off the weather. So it was like beautiful running weather, perfect running weather. And I made the 19 mile loop, got my Gatorade and banana at home, and then started off on my 7 mile route. And it was then when, you know, my cramping started acting up again. But I had, in the time between the races, I had started to listen to some podcasts that I found. Like, I found Running Explained podcast was very informative. I hadn't found you at this point. But yeah, I built up some knowledge that helped me get through the cramping this time. So I used my gels, I used my Gatorade to kind of get me through. I did a walk-run strategy to get me through. And I ended up getting to about mile 22, and then the cramp was really bad. I ended up on the ground for about 10 minutes. And at this point, you know, I'm like, I don't really want to go through the same situation that I had just been in, you know, six Yeah. weeks before. So I decided I'm just going to walk home. So I started walking. I walked home. So it was about mile 23 by this point. And I walked home, and then I said, why don't I just try running? So I'm at home. I could see my house. I started running, and my legs felt okay. And I made it half mile. Legs felt okay. Made it 1 mile. Okay, I'm going to do this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So I called my wife on my Bluetooth and I said, "Okay, meet me at the finish line. I'm gonna finish this." And I did. I did 26.2 miles. Had the kids at home with a sign and gave me my medal. So that was kind of the adventure of me finishing my first marathon. But yeah, this whole experience really showed me that I needed assistance to really achieve the performance I was looking for.
Yeah, and especially as over the years, your goals and what you wanted to achieve like really changed, you know, going from, you know, a guy in I maybe mid to late 20s at the time, thinking that you're going to become a bodybuilder and, you know, kind of eating and training like a bodybuilder, to now saying, okay, well, now I want to really try again at this marathon thing and feel good doing this marathon thing, not just, you know, kind of crawl across the finish line and just barely scrape by and have all these questions about whether or not I can even finish the distance, but to like feel really good when I'm running and racing. You know, part of this whole journey that you've been on is not only a learning experience for yourself, but also seeing like how different your goals are, which makes sense why you needed a different approach to how you eat for those different things that you want to achieve.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like going through this whole situation, it's just a lot of learning. And I wasn't quite sure where to look, because you look online and you see people telling different things because
Oh,
everyone
yeah,
is
big
different.
time.
So that's one thing that always confused me is, I'd always looked on, Facebook groups. I always looked on, different forums. And you ask one question, you get like 17 different answers. So that's one of the main reasons why I did reach out to you at the time. So it was fall of 22 that I reached out, because I saw you were the runner's dietitian. I love running and I need help with my diet. So what a perfect match.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's such an important distinction because, I mean, there isn't just one way to go about nutrition and to go about eating, but it has to be personalized to what a person's goals are. And this is why you see so many different types of advice out there. Of course, even within the running community, there's a lot of different opinions and kind of thoughts about how we should fuel ourselves and things like that. But that's where it comes down to trying different things and figuring out what you like and what's ultimately going to work for you, depending on what it is that you want to achieve.
Yeah,
So,
100%.
yeah, so kind of, you know, now that's kind of brought us up to this fall of 2022. And you decided that you were ready to, you know, pull the trigger on getting started on working on your nutrition. And you're coming into it with, you know, a lot of experience with different diets. You've been eating a certain way for a really long time. And a huge part of what's kept you eating that way, despite maybe not feeling your best, is that you like how it makes you look. And that's honestly one of the hardest parts about making these changes for a lot of people is sort of this tug of war between like performance and this level of leanness that we're trying to maintain. So tell us a little bit more about like what were some of the biggest or most impactful lessons that you kind of learned during your nutrition sessions? What were some of the big takeaways that you had?
Yeah, for sure. So I think right off the bat, our first discovery call, I was telling you how much I was or how little I was eating. And the first thing you said was, "Oh yeah, that's not enough." So I knew right off the bat you're the right person to help me with this, because you were upfront and honest with me. So I really love that. But one of the things you recommended was that I take the Fuel Train Recover course. And I took that course and I enjoyed, every minute of that course. I took so many things away from it. So I think I took maybe four main key points away from that. And one was the eat less, move more cycle. So I was finally glad to see a name put to what I had been experiencing my whole life. And that I was really trying to eat less and move more, because I was scared that eating more and moving more was not the right combination. So I had been obsessed with the scale at one point in my life. I would check my weight twice a day. I would adjust my meals based on what the scale was telling me. And so I was, right in that category. I felt fit right in. So I really liked learning about that. One of the other key lessons I learned was about fueling to recover. from your workout that you did, but also fueling to prepare your body for the next workout. So I had grown up, you know, with a scoop of protein powder after the workout. And I thought that was, you know, recovering, you know, and helping my body build myself up. But your course really showed me that you need to fuel like not only just after your workout, but before your next workout so that you're priming your body to perform.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Another key thing that I took away was about the athlete's plate. So like we talked about, you know, very data-based. But in today's world, like with three kids, I can't calculate all the macros every time I go out everywhere. So I learned about the athlete's plate and how to structure my plate based on like the look and what to put on my plate. Like, let's say if we're at a buffet, for example, what do I put on my plate? So that really helped me feel better about myself and feel better about my body composition. And that was the other thing I really learned about body composition, that it's okay to see changes when you're, you know, eating differently. Like, you don't have to look a certain way, and looking a certain way doesn't necessarily translate into performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that, you know, being able to transition, especially because you are a very like data and kind of numbers driven person, to have success with transitioning away from the tracking and measuring and sort of feeling like you need to be so, you know, data oriented with your intake, to transition to an easier, kind of simpler visual tool that really is portable, and you're able to use it, you know, like you said, at a restaurant, at a buffet, it doesn't matter where you're eating. You can just kind of use this to portion out your meals the way that you need to. Takes off a lot of, I think, the on off that people see with their diet, because people can be like really good, really dialed in when they're tracking, but then when they're not tracking, they have nothing to go on. They have, you know, kind of no replacement for that. And this is where I think the athlete's plates are such a valuable tool, because it doesn't take a lot of extra time to incorporate it into your meals, into your meal planning or into your portioning.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So what results? So you outlined, you know, the kind of big key takeaway lessons for you, which is so great, you know, really highlighting the places that you were struggling and kind of getting those answers and getting a little bit of reassurance in a lot of ways. And just, you know, kind of those aha moments of like, oh yeah, this is exactly where I'm struggling, what I've been struggling with. Like you said, kind of putting a face to the name finally. What were some of the results that you were most excited about? So after, you know, all this time now kind of working on your nutrition, we slowly increased your calories over, you know, a few months as you increased your training volume. We kind of worked on getting you eating more, incorporating more different carbs into your diet, fueling a little bit better before and during your runs. And so what happened? What were some of the results that you saw because of that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the result that everybody noticed in my family and my friend circles, I started looking different. So I remember I didn't slowly work my way up to the calorie and macro totals. I tried to jump right up to the numbers you were recommending for me. And you had warned me not to do that, but I did it anyway. And I felt horrible, like my body didn't like what I was doing. So I had to back it off and then work slowly my way up. So I think the first thing people noticed was, you know, I looked healthier. So I remember sitting down for Christmas dinner 2022, and my sister-in-law said, "Hey, Jeff, you look healthy. You look good." I said, what do you mean? Like, I feel horrible inside. Like, I feel bloated and heavy because my pants aren't fitting like they used to. And yeah, and so my wife, I told this comment to my wife, and she showed me a picture of my first marathon. I looked like a skeleton. Like, I looked sick. And I couldn't believe that was me. And so that was one of the, you know, the very key things that, you know, I took from it, is after like a couple months of working with you on my diet, like, I saw immediate results and people were saying that I looked healthy. So I really used that as encouragement. Like, even though I wasn't feeling right that particular day or week, it was a positive sign. So what I tried to do is I tried to build on this. So like you said, I started to slowly build my way up as I was in my base building phase. And I built through the marathon training phase in 2023. So I signed up again for the Manitoba Marathon in 2023, and I used the training plan that we had designed to work my way up. So as I increased my volume, I increased the food I was eating and was eating the right carbs, and I was feeling amazing. Like I started, you know, feeling good. Like I think one comment you said in one of our calls, like if your clothes aren't fitting, just go get new clothes. So that's what I did. Yeah, I just bought new clothes, and they're fitting better at that point. And you know, I was feeling good about my training at that point because I had the energy to get through the workout. I wasn't feeling sore all the time. I could keep up with my kids and do my long runs. So what I was finding is I would do my long runs on Saturdays. So I'd get up at 4, do my long run, get home, and immediately I walk in the door and my kids are like, "Dad, where's breakfast?" So I had to go immediately from long run to making breakfast. On keto, I wasn't really able to do that. I was incredibly sore. I'd hobble around the house for a while.
Yeah.
So I really saw these changes in me during this training phase. But I guess the one bad thing about this training phase was I had a couple injuries that came up. So I wasn't able to train as much as I would have liked. So I had some back pain. I had some knee pain that came during this training phase. And I had to take about 6 weeks off at the peak training season to get my knee looked at. The doctor was kind of worried that it may be a stress fracture in my leg. So he was kind of treating my knee pain a little bit on the serious side. So I had to basically, he told me to take a week and a half off limited activity, which is super hard with 3 kids. But I went back to the doctor after that week and a half, and he cleared me to run again. So I remember that day I was working at home, and I put my running shoes on at lunch, and I went for a run at lunch. And that was the hardest 1 mile run I've ever run in my entire life, because I could only run like a minute at a time without knee pain. But because I did all this research on the type of knee pain I had, I learned it was beneficial to start to try and learn to run through some of the knee pain, which was like built up scar tissue, basically. So I started working my way up, and this is 2 weeks before the Manitoba Marathon. So I did 1 mile, 2 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles, and then I planned a 10-mile run a week before the race. And I said, if I can do 10 miles, then I'm going to try and show up on race day. So I did 10 miles the week before the race, and I decided to go into a taper after that and did a 1 week taper. And I sat down with my brother-in-law, Alex. I said, what do I do? Do I show up to the race and maybe not finish, or do I not show up and rest until I'm healthy again? And so his advice was, what are you going to regret more? Not trying, or trying and not succeeding? So I really took that to heart, and I said, okay, I got to realign my goals here. So I set my goal to run at least 16 miles on race day. So 16 was where I dropped out the previous year. So I decided to show up to race day. It was a beautiful race day. And the first 10 miles or so went pretty well, and then I started having, again, some minor cramping in my leg, and I didn't want this to affect my race like it had the previous two times, so I decided to employ like a walk-run strategy. So I did, you know, a five-minute run, couple minutes walk, and I employed this strategy for the next 16 miles, and this was mentally grueling because my goal was to get at least 16. So I got 16, and then I said, okay, I'm at 16. I may as well do 26. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But in my head, it wasn't just me on the course. You know, it was my whole support team. You know, I was kind of thinking of my family who was like encouraging me and cheering me on. It was like you, I heard, encouragement from you, like, okay, well, you gotta like fuel your body, you gotta do all these things, hydrate, electrolytes, salt, like all these things that I had learned through your coaching. My physio, like I was thinking of my physio, like all this work I'd spent like healing my body, I really wanted to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
So I was kind of using all this as motivation, to like strengthen mentally to get across the finish line, and I did. So I got to mile 25, and I saw the finish line, which is a big stadium here in Winnipeg. And I tried sprinting. I really tried sprinting, but my legs had none of it.
Yeah.
And I saw the finish line, and I said, okay, I gotta run inside the stadium here. So I ran as hard as I could, and I crossed the finish line, arms up, and
Yeah.
the whole time I'm like, I found my family in the crowd, and it was a true team effort to get me across the finish line that day.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so, in terms of like your day-to-day nutrition, as you sort of went through that whole process, you were adding more foods back into your diet, you sort of, started to increase your calories. And at what point, like where was the turning point? How long did it take for you to start really appreciating the changes in your fueling and to start to like really feel good with the changes? It was a little bit of a rocky start, but then when did you start to really be like, you know what? This is the right thing for me. This is working.
Yeah, so I think, probably mid training block in 2023. So I was eating, my oatmeal, I was eating pasta, I was eating like bread, like adding in all these things and just seeing how it made me feel and just seeing like it was making my body feel good, like I wasn't sore. I just felt a little bit more healthy.
Yeah.
And also on the flip side, like I wasn't feeling the same effects from the keto diet. So on the keto diet, I was feeling cold all the time. And because I was cold and I had no energy, I was drinking lots of coffee.
Yeah.
And so I found my coffee intake was going down as well. So I didn't need as much coffee. And then I started really enjoying pasta. Like I enjoyed rice. Like that's all I wanted. I just wanted to eat, rice and chicken and, shrimp and pasta. And like I started really enjoying these foods again.
Yeah. Because you had probably, you said before that you didn't like them, but I think sometimes we just tell ourselves that we don't like certain things or that we don't need certain foods. And when we feel like we shouldn't have them, we feel guilty for eating them. It's easy to say, oh, I don't like them, and then it's easier to sort of avoid them and keep them out of your diet.
Yeah, for sure. And the other kind of benefit of this is, now I was cooking one meal for the family. I didn't need to cook multiple meals to please myself and the kids
Yeah.
and my wife. And, it was one meal for the family that we could enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a really important thing that you said too is that, yes, your body composition and your size changed, but maybe it needed to in order for you to actually get the performance that you were looking for. So we talk about this a lot, that like a leaner body composition, having a lower body fat percentage isn't always, isn't always going to translate into better performance. And while there's a lot of runners who I work with, I know listen to this podcast, who are trying to, optimize their body composition and maybe reduce their body fat percentage as runners in order to get, kind of a better, more power, more speed, whatever that might look like, there is also a huge population of runners who have a very lean body composition, a very, low weight, low body fat percentage, and it's that under fueling that's keeping them stuck. And once you start fueling properly, you might see changes, but that maybe is what's necessary in order to get you the performance that you're looking for. So I think we have to be really open-minded when it comes to how our body might change as the result of what I'll call kind of better or proper fueling. It's not always maybe what we initially wanted or what we were hoping for, but when you look back, you can kind of see that, oh, you know what? That really was for the best. That really was something that needed to change.
For sure, yeah, it's definitely an evolution of thought for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for runners who are listening to this that are resonating a lot with your story and are listening to you talk about, your experience and all the different things that you tried and the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations of your running journey, what advice do you have for those runners who are in the situation that you were in previously?
Yeah, for sure. So I any advice, I'd have to say anything is possible. But anything is possible if you have the right people in your life and you have the right resources. So me personally, I'm a goal setter, and I'm the type of person, if you have a challenge in front of you, I'm going to try and accomplish it. But where I was getting stuck is I didn't have knowledge in a lot of these areas. And I surrounded myself with the people that believed in me, people that had the right knowledge. And I started learning lots about my body, lots about how the relationship of food and exercise, like how important that is, for sure. So I think that's one key lesson for sure. Mm-hmm. The other, you know, advice is, you know, it's okay to ask for help. You know, it's okay to be vulnerable. I wouldn't have been able to run a marathon if I didn't ask for help. Looking back a couple of years ago, I didn't think I could. And now sitting here, I've done two. So I think, you know, runners out there that are stuck, that need help, like don't be scared to reach out to a dietitian and get help, because it's amazing what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are currently, as of the day that we're recording this episode, you are currently building up and working towards running another full marathon this coming year. But take us back a little bit, because you had a really great race back in the fall to kind of wrap up the 2023 season. And I want to hear more about that. So tell us about the half marathon that you did back in October.
Yeah, for sure. So after my full marathon, I really liked the results that I saw after our training together, just in the nutrition space. So I wanted to experience the training plans that you would have on like a run coach side. So we started meeting in August of 2023, and you built this training schedule for me through this app that you're running. And so you structured the runs in kind of a really fun way. So there's, you know, probably 80% slow runs, and you mix in, you know, speed runs, do some intervals. It's a lot of different runs. And the great thing about this program is that you keep me accountable. So you keep the clients accountable. So you have a good run and you comment, you know, nice work. And if you see something that needs improvement, you're right on the ball and you're commenting about, you know, heart rate data or speed data. And that's really what helped me succeed in the training plan, is that, you know, I had someone keeping me accountable for what I was doing outside or on the treadmill. So I really looked forward to like speed work Wednesdays. I love speed work Wednesdays. Long run Saturdays with strides at the end was really fun. And then we started getting into some, we did some long runs with half marathon pace in the middle, which were really enjoyable. So this whole training plan was really challenging, and it was challenging me each and every day, kind of building up my resiliency. So race day comes, and it was a beautiful day. It was probably 2 Celsius out, beautiful day for running. I showed up and I put myself in the 2-hour pacer group, which was a bit faster than I wanted to start off at, but my goal was under 2 hours. So yeah, I started a little bit fast. It took me about 5 or 6 miles to work into my pace that I wanted. But when I got to the pace that I wanted, I felt amazing. You know, I was running really comfortable in the pocket. And I got to mile 9 or 10, which we had worked on a strategy of around that time to turn up the dial. Mm-hmm. I felt really good, so I started turning up the dial, and I was passing runners. You know, I was passing runners who were a little bit slower, and this made me a little bit more confident, you know, in my strategy. You know, I'm just getting warmed up now. So my goal was to pass the hour 55 pacer, and I couldn't see them yet, but I got to mile 12 and I could see the pacer in the distance. So I turned the knob up again, and I started giving her. And I finally caught the pacer at about mile 12 and a bit, and I just sprinted to the end. And I gave everything I had, and I felt really good. Like, I felt really good, kind of pulling together all the nutrition, all the training. I was kind of thinking about our, you know, our intervals that we did on Wednesdays. And I ended up crossing the finish line, a personal record of hour 54 for a half marathon.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And to have it all come together too, like, you know, to go from the guy who, when you first, you know, ran your first half marathon, I think you said back in 2007, you know, making it to like mile 8 on a training plan and just kind of conking out at mile 8 consistently, to not only being able to finish the half marathon distance and feel really confident in it, but to actually be able to, you know, pull in a pacing strategy that gets you with a negative split and, you know, speeding up towards the end. I mean, you just get so much confidence and encouragement in being able to translate that to, you know, hopefully your upcoming full marathon.
Yeah. So I was super happy with the result I had at this past half marathon. And yeah, so I'm really excited to start training. I think we're ending the base building phase shortly, and we'll be working into the marathon training phase. So I'm super excited to do that. And
yeah,
hopefully I want to keep healthy throughout this, the next 16 weeks or so, and we'll see what we can do.
Amazing. Yeah. So thank you so much, Jeff, for agreeing to come on and do this episode with me and share your story. I know so much of, you know, your struggles and the highs and lows and all the things that you've experienced over your couple of years here as a runner will be really relatable to a lot of people listening, and a lot of things that are common struggles and common challenges for all of us runners. Before I let you go and we sign off for this episode, is there anything else that you wanted to share? Any last words of wisdom or advice for our listeners?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, thanks, Steph, for having me here. I think the last piece of advice I wanted to give is that, you know, life is so precious. So take advantage of every day that you can. So, you know, this really hit home a year and a half ago when my mother-in-law passed away. So my wife and her family, like, they're devastated. They're very sad. And, you know, this experience wanted to make me a better person. So I wanted to take advantage of everything I can in life. And, you know, I wanted to just take a hold of every opportunity. So, you know, as athletes, we only have a short period of time when we're, you know, healthy enough to do these, set these, achieve these goals we want to. And I really want people out there to do the same. You know, if you have a goal, reach for it, and anything is possible.
I love that. That's so wonderful. Thank you so much once again for being part of the Fuel, Run, Recover podcast. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much to everyone today for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this episode and found it insightful and inspirational, and it helps you on your path to better fueling and, you know, a better and healthier relationship with food and exercise as well. So that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much once again for tuning in today, and we will see you next week. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.